children.
It's all for you!
We have such sights to show you.
Oh yeah, I was so pissed about the LA thing, but then I was just like, wait, it's free. I guess I didn't make a wrong turn. Huh?
But I'm And welcome back,
hey,
everyone,
we did it.
Another episode of the Horrible People's Podcast.
That was pretty long-winded. All right.
Fuck. Well, that's what we get for you just being like, you want to help me finish off these vape pens?
Oh yeah, they're fun. They're almost dead. Look at them.
I know.
Dude, these things are on their last legs. They've lasted a long fucking time.
Yeah. Okay. Can I just introduce the podcast?
Oh, we're just rambling. Okay, let's go. Yay.
I'm your host, Alex Webster. With me, as always, is Anthony Fuentes.
What's up, everybody?
And
we have a show. Yes. You guys are already here, huh?
Didn't think we'd make it this far.
Episode 2! Hey!
Right?
Can't see. My arms are stretched out in glory.
In glory.
Yeah.
Like, just running through the finish line. Just da 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 da.
Two episodes, one September. Oh,
anyway,
Jesus.
So we are talking about a movie that I thought was going to be way better than it was. We're talking about Wrong Turn from 2003.
Well, that's interesting. So, you hadn't seen this one before?
No.
I hadn't seen it. I thought you saw it.
Okay. So, technically, I had seen bits and pieces of it as a small, small child.
Uh-huh.
Why else do you think my family never let me watch horror movies? Because this is what was on, like, cable when I was a child.
It was pretty brutal. Yeah. I mean, this is, like, kind of prime torture porn era. It's
absolutely. We are going to get into that, my friend.
Oh, right, because I didn't even look at this. Okay, yes.
This is going to be a short as shit episode, assuming we don't get too stoned and just start blabbering on. Mm. There's not a lot about the production. It's not, like, academically acclaimed, so it's not like I can do, like, anything super thorough in that sense. And there's very little on the production side of things. So we're really just going to have a fun time talking about a movie that has 27 sequels, mm-hmm, when it really shouldn't.
You mean the movie with the two main characters walking away from an explosion at the very end is not academically relevant?
No.
What the shit?
Yeah, I know. Go figure.
Yeah, episode 2, guys. We're just tossing them in there now.
Yeah. This is just the way it is. So.
That was so dreary. Jesus. Like, yeah. Thanks, fans.
Thanks, listeners.
You can rate us 5 stars on iTunes.
Okay, I'm more chipper than that.
And boy,
certainly a movie.
Was this a doozy? Yes.
Anyway, IMDb also has things to say about this movie. You know what I think it is? I'm so used to you taking over this part that I'm just like, okay.
Oh, right, because we're switched off. We're switched off. That's right.
But that's not, you know, what's happening here. Mm-mm. So that's why I'm just like, let's go. And then it's like, oh, wait, it's me. It's me.
IMDb has a lot to say about this movie. Let's just check it out for a second, guys. Stick with us, please. No, let's go.
IMDb says, quote, Chris and a group of 5 friends are left stranded deep in the middle of the woods after their cars collide. As they venture deeper into the woods, they face an uncertain and blood-curdling fate, unquote.
The movie is exactly as dumb as that description sounds.
Also,
it's exactly,
it's just
that,
like,
dumb.
They could not emphasize how in the middle of fucking nowhere this was. It's like deep in the woods. Deep in the woods.
Deep in the woods where you can literally, like, avoid anyone. Somehow these people crash into each other. Yeah.
The cervix of the woods.
Yeah. The cervix of the woods. Oh, that is your autobiography. That's the name of your autobiography. In the Cervix of the Woods. The life of a latent horror fan.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck.
I love that. That was fantastic. Oh, how do we even follow that up? Is that what the strategy was? Just like, okay, guys, let's just have an episode and then suddenly just fucking bam, whip them to fucking death right now.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that was good. All right.
Thank you.
Better than any line in this fucking movie, to be honest with you.
And I'm high and tired, which goes to just not not hype me up, but more deprecate the shittiness of the writing in this movie.
Makes sense. That being, I'm having a great time. So yeah, here, let's do it. Bring the energy.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah.
This was directed by Rob Schmidt.
Okay.
Written by Alan B. McElroy.
Mm-hmm.
It was produced by Stan Winston, Brian Gilbert, Eric Feig, and Robert Kulzer.
It's a lot of white people.
Yeah, it is white.
I don't think I see a brown in here except maybe the one girl. Emmanuel.
Interesting. So, this movie is starring Desmond Harrington, Douchey McDoucherton, the love of our lives, Eliza Dushku.
Remember, you're a confirmed wife because yes. we fought for this.
Jennifer Tilly.
I claimed Jennifer Tilly.
And then, yeah, my hashtag confirmed wife who did just welcome her second child.
I saw that on Instagram because I follow her on Instagram also.
Yeah, because we love her.
That's true.
My wife, Eliza Dushku. Emmanuel?
Yeah.
Cher Queen?
By the way, she was in Entourage as one of the love interests.
Sure.
Oh my god. That woman is
because I watch Entourage.
I watched the fuck out of Entourage.
What the fuck? Okay.
I was a Ute at one point, okay? That's just what we had.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Entourage.
She's great.
Sure.
Not in this movie though. Right.
Jeremy Sisto and Kevin Zegers.
Boy, they were just scraping towards the back part, huh? All right.
The real who's who.
You can say three lines, good.
Get out there.
Look pretty towards the camera. Thank you. Die now. Just die now.
Anyway, released on May 30th, 2003.
Oh, boy.
Summary. And then the box office budget, $12.6 million somehow.
That's a lot of money for... This does not look like $12.6 million.
Oh, but it was. Somehow, some way, it made $28.7 million.
I can see... I don't know why this oddly just average box office is throwing me off today, but that's weird.
You're
this
just mind blown.
This doesn't look. This is not a good looking movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like by any stretch of the means.
By any stretch of the means.
Yeah. Because now the pen's hitting me a little bit. But I guess we're gonna learn how this got made right now.
And
so why I'm a little blown away by this. Let's fucking do it.
Okay.
Oh boy. Episode 2, baby! Let's fucking roll! Yeah! I am hopped up on a cold brew, a claw, and a little bit of hybrid marijuana, so... Fun times ahead.
Why would you do that? We haven't, like, you're not, you know not to do that since, like...
Development for the film began. In 2001. No, in 2001 is when the film was developed. Yeah, it's a 2003 film, Alex. I'm gonna start over. So, she's staring at me right now. Development for the film began in 2001 when it was announced Summit Entertainment. Summit! And New Market Group teamed to produce Wrong Turn, a 1970s-style horror pick to be directed by Rob Schmidt.
I like that that's the macro view. Is like, this is supposed to be a 1970s-style horror pick. And it's just like, was that? Like, because between... conception to product, there was some miscommunication, I think.
Yeah, it's just like, did you run that by Michael Bay first? What the fuck happened
did
here?
Did you run that by Michael Bay first?
Jesus. And then, of course, Summit Entertainment ended up being they did the Twilight movies.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, so I'm just like, oh, okay, they were just like, let's get all the teens, let's do it.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Summit developed Twilight.
I understand, movies. But this came out way before Twilight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the way you phrased it made it sound like...
No, they're dipping their toes into horror. Yeah.
At this point, yeah, I'm just the teens are going to go see Twilight,
mm-hmm.
but they're not going to go see Wrong Turn after.
No, this is their first batch, I feel like. This is one of their early runs, but...
Yeah.
So, Alan McElroy of Spawn fame wrote the script. By the way, a really weird, one of the weirdest superhero movies you'll probably ever see if we ever decide to cover it, because it is kind of horror-ish.
I think we briefly discussed this movie.
Probably was Phil.
It was Blade. Yes, yeah. That is exactly it.
Yeah, because it's one of the early rated R horror films, and it is absurd. And it has John Leguizamo, which it does is have my John... boy. I fucking love that
dude. John Leguizamo's your boy?
Oh, you've never seen his, his one-man show? He's a good stand-up. Yeah, he's like, really profound, actually.
Interesting.
But his film roles are not. Like his one man shows. It's like he's two guys. All right, he's just two different people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, this guy McElroy might sound familiar as he wrote Halloween 4: The Return of Michael Myers. Where's Phil? I know you're listening.
Fuck you, Phil.
I know you're listening. Still bad. By the way, though, I am looking forward to the maze for Halloween 4 again.
Yes! I posted about that, and he gave me shit. And I was like, no, I can still be excited.
Wait, were you not with us when we saw it the first time?
Was it... No, because we went, not last year, but the year before. They've done a Halloween maze.
They've done Halloween 4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is like their second or third time doing it.
Yeah. It was a good maze, though. It was actually a pretty good maze. Yeah.
It's very fun, because they also just do really great old makeup. Old man makeup on and then you have some guy looking like Donald Pleasance running around, and it's great.
Yeah, it's very funny. We'll be at Horror Nights, everybody, so if you'll in a couple of weeks you'll definitely see the post.
It'll be fun.
And also I went to Awakening Spirits, is that what it's called?
Awaken the Spirits.
Awaken the Spirits.
I didn't even go.
But there was a Horror Nights panel that I went to.
Was it?
Yeah, and they talked about the meticulous process of doing it. I'm just like, man, I wish I had that kind of passion about anything. All right. Except this podcast. Yes, that's right.
I was like, this podcast, motherfucker.
If only I can just do this full time. Check our Patreon for more on that one.
Thank you so much for everyone's support on Patreon. Yeah. It the second I get to quit my job, which I love my coworkers, if you're listening to this, I love you guys.
But please allow me to guilt you guys into giving us more money. Anyways, so as written in the original script, the characters were in their late 20s. Thankfully, not fucking teens. However... they were made younger in order for the film to appeal to younger audiences. Stay on brand with other teen slashers. Okay, I did that victory lap way too soon.
Yeah, wow. You did.
Wow.
Oh,
what? No, don't age them down. Okay, so while filming, several of the cast and crew were covered in poison ivy. Oh, shit. This was due to the chairs being placed in what was first thought to be a group of weeds, only later to be discovered as a patch of, well, what we just said right now.
You guessed it.
Yeah, you guessed that shit. Eliza Dushku.
Elijah?
Elijah.
Elijah Wood Dushku.
Same height. Eliza Dushku did a lot of her own stunts for the movie, actually, because she is a badass, and we love her. And, of course, if you're going to do stunts and bring it on... You're going to be able to do a
question. Which she also didn't bring it on because she learned it for Buffy.
Mm-hmm.
So she's just, you know.
She's just perfect. She I know. Went from, she's just perfect.
Yeah, she went from Buffy to bring it on to this. Like, she is on fire. Like, yeah, Jesus. She can do her own stunts.
She's fucking great. And be a badass mother. Oh, my God, this woman.
I know.
I was like, oh, shit. When we picked our spouses, I was like, I went too quick on the Jennifer Tilly. I should have made more of a case for Eliza Dushku, but I'm still happy. I'm still happy.
It's fine.
All right, I'm still happy.
It's fine.
But
keep your eyes off my wife.
Yeah, it still hurts a little bit. Despite only being credited for his producing, makeup master Stan Winston was pivotal in the key design of the Mountain Men. In particular, now postmodern horror icon Three Finger, which
all of these guys have names, and I think they're very funny.
Yeah, the because Three Finger's the one that's like the staple of the rest of the franchise, right?
Sure.
Yeah, he's in all the other movies.
Sure.
The kid one? The guy that has a childish kind of...
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well,
we
go.
I've seen one sequel, and when I saw it, the whole time I was sitting there, I'm like, where's Eliza Dushku?
Oh, that's right. See, well, I saw the Dead Meat video on this, and confirmed that very fact. Also, Dead Meat, great channel, James A. Janisse. You are hilarious. So, this marks the second to last major horror film that Stan has been involved in before his death in 2008 at the age of 62, kind of young, and the third slasher horror film he had been involved in following uncredited work in Friday the 13th Part 2 and 3, the latter of which he had been a core designer on the original hockey mask. Of also horror icon, I don't know if you guys heard of him. This guy? This is Jason Valderrama? Is that his name?
Voorhees?
Oh, yeah, that's right. John Voorhees. Yes, we got it.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
got
John
it.
Yeah,
it.
John Voorhees.
It's not like
yeah.
I was wearing a Friday the 13th shirt today at work. It's
no,
not like
no, no,
my
no.
One of my coworkers was just like, that's scary.
No. Yeah. For more on our take on John Voorhees and Jason Valderrama, whichever one it is, please look at our episode 24 on Friday the 13th Part 1, episode 45 on Friday the 13th Part 2, episode 71 on Friday the 13th, part 3, which is during a birthday month, is very special. And our good old Corey Feldman expose, Friday the 13th, part 4, the final chapter, episode 102. All very good episodes.
If you want to listen to the first one, if you want to hear our tumultuous sound issues from season one.
That was one of our first major fuck-ups, which is hilarious.
It was. It also sounds like Anthony is wearing like a Kylo Ren mask the entire time. It's really weird.
Pamela Voorhees.
Yeah. Pretty much. Or at least that's what has been told to me as the people who have listened.
I gotta re-listen to it. Yeah. That was back in the day. But we definitely get better, and I feel like if you listen to our Friday 13th series, you can kind of see a good example of our progress as podcasters.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Definitely there. Or listen to all of them. Who the fuck, you know, do what you want to do. So, Fox reportedly had trouble securing an R rating from the MPAA, those bitches, due to the, you know how we feel about those guys, due to the film's intense violence with many of the TV spots for the film, also refused approval. This is possibly one of the reasons why subsequent Wrong Turn movies were released straight to video, which,
most of them were.
Yeah, pretty much all of them. Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. The promotion for this film was also minimal due to the MPAA deeming the majority of the TV spots and trailers, quote-unquote, too intense. For the viewers, even the commercials that were aired were really, really heavily trimmed.
Interesting.
So MPAA really had to stick up their ass on this one.
Right. So,
as they are wanting to do.
As is the norm. Fuck you, the MPAA.
Fuck you, the MPAA.
the
suck. Oh boy, let's go.
So, we're going to get into the plot later, because it is an episode that I wrote. Like I mentioned also at the top of the episode, there is not a lot going on with this movie. Mm-hmm. So, we're just going to dive right into some release reception goodness.
How did people... Yeah, we want to know how people received this movie. And then also, it's kind of crazy that we have like almost no information based on this first one, and it still resulted in like 6 sequels and a remake.
Yeah.
Which is intense. That's insane.
A remake that I did not know was happening until I was like trying to find this one, and I was just like, I quick aside, because you know,
That's right. I was trying to find this one. The same bullshit happened to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah. This is turning into nothing but asides. But I hate it when sequels, or I'm sorry, when remakes have the same name as the original.
Mm-hmm.
Like I know Halloween did this. But
that's like a reimagining even sequel,
right?
Whatever.
But even then, it's just easy to just be Halloween 2018 and then, you know what I mean. And then just searching Wrong Turn streaming, like you just get the 2021 version that I didn't even know existed, and I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
I'm like, oh, it's on. No, not anything. I want. Oh, that's not even it. What the fuck?
It's not even the movie.
Yeah, I was a little pissed too.
Yeah, well.
It's okay. And I paid for this anyways to watch it.
Oh, okay, yeah. I also paid for it.
Yeah, I remember I was going to use your login, but then I got busy, so I was like, fuck.
And you forgot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah, it happens. We're busy.
Fall 2021, let's go.
Woo!
No Delta, please.
Happy September.
Yeah.
So, Rotten Tomatoes reports 40% out of 83 surveyed critics gave the film a positive review. Ooh. The average rating is a 4.22 out of 10.
So, what?
Yeah. What?
Shit. Oh, I thought, okay, that makes 100%
sense.
It's a 40% movie for sure. Yeah.
The consensus is, quote, an unremarkable slasher flick that fails to distinguish itself from others of its ilk, unquote.
Boy.
Yes. Jeez. The AV Club, formerly loved, now disgraced, says, quote, is a sanctimonious take on the backwoods bloodbath concept that has more themes than a sorority events calendar, and none of them come together in any coherent way.
That is why the AV Club used to be awesome, because that is accurate. I haven't read any of the recent reviews, but yeah, AV Club circa 2003 to like 2013, you guys were the shit. Hurts my heart to this day. What else did people say?
Oh, how the mighty fall.
Oh.
So, there really isn't a lot, and it's widely just kind of panned. So, let's jump to the meat of the situation.
Oh,
the Letterboxd.
Yeah, the ones that everybody loves. Let's fucking do it.
I don't know if it's what the people love, but it's certainly what we love, which is really all that matters here. On Letterboxd, Wrong Turn has a 2.8 average rating out of 25,000 reviews.
That, We've covered, like, some renowned films.
Like, I don't think Mulholland Drive has as many reviews, you know what I mean?
Wow. 25,000 people just came in to shit on it and give it an average review. That is...
Yeah, that it's is a 2.8. It's straight down the fucking middle.
What the fuck? This is I guess this is a 40% movie. This is a... No, this is big... Oh my god, what the fuck? Anyways, all right, let's
do you know, yeah. With that many reviews, do you know how hard it is to have just like a perfectly meh movie?
Yeah. Wow. All right, well, let's fucking go.
Silent Dawn with 3 stars. Quote, gleefully to the point, the characters take a wrong turn and run into some mean and nasty backwoods cannibals. What else do you need? Unquote.
What else can you possibly ask for? Nothing. They're not going to offer it. I
guess. Christian DeLeo with 1.5 stars. Quote, how the fuck did this get 5 sequels and a reboot? There's some alright gore and a decent kill in this, but that's about it. Paper-thin plot, awful script, bland characters, laughable acting, and the biggest sin of all is that it isn't thrilling or scary. A lame The Hills Have Eyes clone, but with inbred hillbillies. At least we got Eliza Dushku in this, unquote.
Alright, you know what? That's probably a lot more accurate, actually. Sorry, AV Club. Chris DeLeo. Yeah. Really nailed this one.
Yeah.
Chris DeLeo. Oh, God. That name did not age well. Anyways.
Ooh, no!
Yeah.
Ooh.
Sorry, bro. Bad choice. Bad choice.
Just go with Christian.
Christian. Christian D. There you go.
Also, not good.
Let's just keep going.
No, you need to sit with that one. You fucked up.
Christ D. Make it worse. It can get worse. You told me to sit with it.
I told you, silence. I wanted you to sit in your shame, dude.
No, you know I'm going to exploit this.
He's like, what shame? Mm-hmm. Anyway, Hector with 3 stars. Quote, honestly, a pretty underrated film. Rather silly in parts, but otherwise good fun and kind of intense in parts. Ha ha. Unquote.
Okay.
Sure, mm-hmm. Hector.
Yeah, you know, it's a hard one to rate, to be honest with you. I mean, we'll get to it, but it's
difficult.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's weird. Yeah.
It is difficult. Hold on.
I understand the confusion, Hector. I get it.
Parker with 3 stars. Quote, I got a soft spot in my heart for Eliza Dushku fighting monsters. Also, it's still baffling this movie spawned a decade-long franchise. Unquote.
Honestly, yes, that is.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, there's nothing really to be said, but I do want to just emphasize how, like, academically panned and hated this movie is.
Please.
So
please
we're
emphasize.
Gonna have
please.
Alex's theory corner.
Let's do it.
So I am reading from, let's see, I want to get my facts here. American Horror Film, The Genre at the Turn of the Millennium by Stefan Handke.
All right, Mr. Handke, give it to us.
There's a little tidbit where he talks about, you know, the good old 9/11.
No. That was the worst sentence on this podcast. What happened there?
He got a mind of its own.
How did we start off? And we went into with some. Okay, I forgot what we said at the beginning because
torture porn. Because it's academic. So basically, any torture porn movie in the 2000s, it's going to be connected to torture porn and 9/11. It's connected. I promise.
But we should always now introduce it with the jingle. Good old 9/11.
I'm just on fire today.
Still beams. All right, let's do it.
No. Anyway, in addition to the problematic hostile film cited above, we would also suggest that a film like Wrong Turn 2003, rather than simply being, quote, about almost nothing, is equally dubious as, among other things, a conservative and deeply paranoid class fable. So there is some academic things you can kind of dig into, which basically is just saying Wrong Turn is just like class critique.
Okay, so, like, the hillbillies are the poors.
Yeah, and they're just, yeah, he's, like, I spent all this time, like, renovating this car just to crash it with the common folk. I hate that guy. Anyway, there's more. So, it's talking about how the movie is just a big old nod to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Hills Have Eyes, and Deliverance. So much so that there's even a reference to Deliverance in the fucking movie, in the script. Which is ridiculous, but anyway. The isolated rural setting and narrative trajectory of Wrong Turn lack the allegorical potency of its generic antecedents and subscribes to only the most tedious reactionary of horror motifs. While a number of recent films have offered to varying degrees more intriguing variations on the rural horror theme, among them The Blair Witch Project, Jeepers Creepers, and Cabin Fever from 2003, and House of Wax, and in particular, the intelligent remake of The Hills Have Eyes, 2006, Wrong Turn's thematic moral agenda and its regressive economies of gender, class, and race are equally... Are practically benefit of any redeeming attributes.
Wow.
Would you like me to dissect that for you?
My hypothesis and what that all comes together is this movie fucking sucks.
In an academic sense, it's just like it tried and it failed.
Yeah. Okay. So like, yeah, you can definitely see it aims for its influences, but stops giving a fuck like halfway through.
Yeah. There was a point in like the writer's room where they're like.
Or do they all fall down a tree?
Well, no, this is them in the writing room. They're sitting there. It's like 12:03, and they're just like, writing is hard.
How do we get them out of the tree? I don't know. They fucking jump. Let's kill one of them before it happens. Okay.
And then they just like started throwing things at a dartboard. Like literally, they had like words on a dartboard.
No, they had scenes from Deliverance, and Hills Have Eyes, and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and they're like, "Cool, throw the dartboard." Okay, how do we make that a little different? Good, good.
Yeah. This is the This is the epitome of that fucking meme where it's just like, "Hey, can I copy your homework?" Yeah, but don't make it obvious. And it's like just The Hills Have Eyes and Wrong Turn are just right next to each other.
Oh.
That's what that is.
Oh, boy. Yeah, so this is... I can see why it's academically panned and critically panned and also kind of why it has a cult following. Actually,
people are just like into it. Yeah.
I can kind of see. Because before we get into the plot, which I'm going to emphasize as we go through this, this might be a case for me of so unbelievably stupidly bad. Just bad. It's really entertaining. I would call it good.
Yeah, and sure.
I would never call it good.
No, never.
Like, Elijah Dushku's good. This is the worst thing she's done. But it is.
Is it the worst?
It is. It is.
Did you ever watch Dollhouse?
No, I have not seen Dollhouse. Okay. So with my Elijah Dushku entertainment. But it's really entertaining. I wasn't bored. I wasn't bored. But I was baffled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think those are the two things I was balancing. I was baffled, but not bored.
You were befuddled.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, boy. I'm going to get one more claw. I'm going to break this plot down.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's fucking go. Let's dissect this dumb fucking movie. Can we?
Yes. Can we, please?
Let's see. So, college students, Rich... I almost said Rich Stroker.
Just like our favorite Bram Stoker.
Yeah, Bram Stroker. That guy. Oh, that guy fucks. So, and Hallie Smith are rock climbing in a remote forest of West Virginia.
Was that supposed to be John Denver?
It was in the path of John Denver, yes. I forgot the words immediately. Yes. What happened next, Alex? What happened next?
I was going to burst into song, but I'm not going to.
Do it. Burst.
Nope. I love John Denver, though.
Take me
home. To the place.
Yeah. There you go. We don't want to pay for the song, though. Let's go.
West Virginia. Mount Mama.
Oh, boy.
Take me home.
That would have immediately made the movie a lot better. Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
But no, my mom loves John Denver, so I knew exactly what you were... Yeah, no. I also sang this song last month on the way to my brother's wedding because we had a fun little sing-along in my car.
Anytime I think of John Denver, I always think of Dumb and Dumber when fucking he's like, that John Denver's full of shit.
Nope.
No, Dumb and Dumber?
I've never seen Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, boy.
What makes you think... What about Dumb and Dumber makes you think that would be an enjoyable movie-watching experience for me?
I wouldn't say it was enjoyable. I'd say everybody's seen Dumb and Dumber. I would imagine that. I'd imagine it's like, you know, being next to a hot stove.
Have you ever known me to do something I didn't want to do? Or wouldn't enjoy?
I mean, you park in Los Angeles.
Because I have to. Yeah,
exactly, see?
I have to, and I would much rather park at your place and Uber there.
That's a good point. I do that too, and I live there. Yeah, no, 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 no.
So, point...
I forget that not every single person has seen Dumb and Dumber. It's really weird to me that
I had a degree of free will and choice because I wasn't raised in the same age group as you.
That's true. No, we all saw it. We all saw it. That's right.
It's like, I mean... I guess I'm not going to make a comparable comparison because I have nothing, but...
It would still fly over my head, I'm sure.
No. I would say, like, the comparable comparison would be, like, White Chicks. Like, I would love
White Chicks.
Exactly.
Everybody's seen White Chicks.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But, like, if I were to, like, right now walk down the street and, like, someone my age and be like, I haven't seen White Chicks, I'd probably be beaten within an inch of my life.
Oh, shit. That's a good point. Okay.
Versus Dumb and Dumber, it's just kind of just like...
No, you missed the cutoff.
Yeah.
Yeah, you missed the cutoff. That makes sense. That makes sense. Although Dumb and Dumber is better than White Chicks. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
That is. Sure. Yes, it is.
I love White Chicks.
I know. I love White Chicks, too. I love White Chicks. Dumb and Dumber is better.
It's not my... I can almost guarantee it's not the kind of humor I enjoy.
I agree with that. Fairly Brothers are... they're a tough cookie to crack, for sure. They are... They're selective in there.
Okay, you just combined tough cookie to crumble and tough nut to crack to tough cookie to...
I am mixing euphemisms this whole fucking day. What happens next in the plot, Alex?
Yeah. So, when Rich reaches the top, he is suddenly murdered before he can help Haley up.
Oh no. Oh, Rich, Jesus.
You had one job.
Suddenly murdered, huh? Anyways, someone begins to yank Haley up the cliff, forcing her to cut the rope and fall to the ground. Oh, Haley, you fucked up.
Oh, no. It's always, like, that scary scene where it's just, like, the rock climber, like, yanking out, like, a huge fucking knife to be like, oh, God.
It's the scene you always know you're gonna get. You always know you're gonna get, but
Do you remember that scene in Day After Tomorrow when, like, the guy has to, like, cut himself off and, like, fall to his death to save everyone else?
Yeah.
So it's something like that. It's always something like that.
Anytime rope is introduced to a film, that rope's not gonna fucking last.
We watch very different films.
A studio film. Not our fucking tube sites. If that rope breaks, nah.
Game over.
Game over, dude.
Someone's like getting like their...
Oh, why is this video only 9 minutes? Oh, okay.
9 minutes?
You're like, oh, I finished God. It after four.
Jeez.
Oh, boy. I mean, that's like the third plot point. Anyways, what happened next?
We have time. So she attempts to escape, but is caught in a line of barbed wire and is pulled back into the woods, screaming.
Oh, boy. Just pulled back into the abyss, huh?
Yeah.
Touching on all the tropes already. So, speaking of tropes, time skip. 3 days later, medical student Chris Flynn drives through the mountains of Greenbrier County on his way to an interview for, like, Denny's or something, right?
I know, they're so vague about this fucking interview, and it's just like, okay, I'm definitely a medical student, but where am I going? Am I going to a hospital? Am I going to a doctor's office? Who fucking knows? Okay, so this is in Missouri.
Oh, shit. My grandma lives in Missouri.
Missouri. That's where my dad's from.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
We have connections to Missouri.
And Texas.
Both of them. Jesus.
We are just... Damn.
I know.
Okay, I'm zooming out, and I'm like, oh, okay. So, yeah, this is... Is this like the Appalachia-ish?
I have no fucking idea. I don't know.
We failed geography.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's not my strong suit.
So when a traffic jam is caused by a chemical spill, he stops at a gas station to ask for directions from an elderly man and decides to go down a different route, which he finds on the gas station's map.
You know, just a random everyday chemical spill.
Everyday chemical spill, everyday gas station with an everyday freaky weirdo.
He's getting the worst luck, and this is the first part of that bad luck. So... He stupidly has, again, like, consistent bad luck. He collides with a flat-tired SUV.
Okay, this is also just, like, being a dummy, because this man, like, if you're driving, and I don't know if this is just my anxiety speaking, but if I am driving in an unfamiliar location at high speeds, I'm not looking at my fucking phone. I'm not looking at shit. I am, like, white-knuckling it, and it's, like, a curvy road. Like, no!
And what did he, like, drop something trying to pick it up? What the fuck was? I can't remember what it was.
I think he was fucking with the CD player.
The CD player.
The CD player.
Jesus, man.
The CD player.
Ay, ay, ay.
There's a CD player. So which he also, he has one of those stupid fucking early 2000s.
What?
The CD,
oh,
like,
and the
on the visor, yeah, the yes. fucking sun visor. He has the thing where you keep all your fucking CDs.
I need to get them convenient.
Fuck you.
Oh boy, but this vehicle belongs to a group of youths on a camping trip. Very, you know, attractive early 20s motherfuckers are Jesse,
very attractive.
Jesse, Carly, Scott, Evan, and Francine.
Which, you know what? I don't know if we're going to... Yeah, we're not going to get into it. But I know that this is written so it's her idea, but whose idea to get over a breakup is to go hang out with your two groups of couples, friends?
Yeah.
Like, whose idea? Like she was like, it was her.
I'm not going to feel lonely. Boy, you guys are all going there to sleep in the tents together, huh?
Shit. Like, she decided to fifth wheel.
Yeah.
Her friends, like, on a camping trip a week.
See you in the morning when I wake up alone. No wonder she latches on to this motherfucker, like, immediately. It's like, holy shit, thank God they're dead, because I was feeling miserable at myself.
But no, like spoiler alert, but yeah, like, the whole plot, it's just like, they just came out here because I was dumped via voicemail.
What happens next, Alex?
I'm
Jesus.
Fucking heated.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. So, the group soon realized that their tire puncture was not an accident, as Jesse finds a strip of barbed wire tied to a tree. The laziest writing of all time, by the way, because Eliza Dushku's character just walks up holding a thing of barbed wire and was just like, this was on purpose!
Hold on a second. Something's fishy, guys. Let's investigate this.
Something's afoot. Scooby-Dooby-Doo.
Oh my God. So Evan and Francine stay to watch the cars while the others go to find help. But both of them are murdered by a figure in the woods, very obviously, because it is set up that way, because they are about to fuck. They do a little bit of
fuck. So this was a little thing that didn't make it into the
this is the sex equals death.
Kind of, sort of, into the outline. But this is the only Wrong Turn movie that has no nudity in it.
Oh, shit. Really?
Mm-hmm. Everyone else, in all the other ones, they're just like, give them tits!
Oh, wow. The give them tits should have been the name of our podcast. That actually would have been good, too. It's too late, but it's fine.
It is what it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, but in that scene, it's just like... implied that I think that they either have sex or she blows him or something.
Yeah.
Then it just cuts away and it's just like, okay, so this is definitely, like, even though it's a rated R movie, on the sex scale, it is a easy PG-13.
Yeah, yeah. That's but theatrical.
You know what? They are doing drugs. So okay. they have to die.
Mm-hmm. they're doing a lot. They're also annoying. So yeah,
they're kind of obnoxious.
They're very annoying.
They're obnoxious. So the remaining group find an isolated cabin and go inside to use the phone. Great idea. Horrified to find human body parts in the house, they are forced to hide inside when the occupants return home.
Everything in this movie seems so contrived.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, it's really contrived. Which, again, could be really funny because they're just like, oh, I happen to be in the exact kind of peril that I could have avoided if we had this whole scenario like 10 minutes ago.
It's stupid. It's lazy writing.
It's very lazy. It is super lazy, like, writing, I gotta say. You're right. Lazy ass writing.
Like, there's also a scene where Eliza Dushku and McDreamy is hiding under the bed, and, like, there's, like, blood dripping towards
his
bed.
Oh, and it gets on his hand.
And he's just like, God, like, I'm like, just move your arm back.
That's bonding time, right? They're all sad. Their friends are all dead in front of them and shit.
And she's just like, snuggle,
they're
snuggle, snuggle.
They're getting played. Yeah.
Snuggle, snuggle, snuggle.
Protect me. I'm still single. Despite...
Right? Protect me. I'm single.
Another good name, too. Jesus. All right. Boy.
That is actually a good one.
That's good, yeah. So three cannibalistic inbred mountain men, Three Finger, Sawtooth, good name, and One Eye, lame name, enter the cabin with Francine's corpse, and the hiding group watch as her body is dismembered And then, of course, eaten, a la Texas Chainsaw, Hills Have Eyes, blah, 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 like everything else you've fucking seen that we've covered in many episodes, which I can go back to right now, but let's get to this one.
After the cannibals fall asleep, the group attempts to escape, but their captors awaken and chase them out into the forest. Stupidly. All of these should have the caveat after and just parentheses. Stupidly.
Yeah, yeah. It's that same scene where they're like, we're almost there. Noise. Ah, fuck. This ruined everything. Let's keep going.
Like, just keep running. Just keep running.
It's funny. Oh, boy. So, the group finds cars left by previous victims and try to make up an escape plan, being very much the odds stacked against them in this scenario. But Chris gets shot in the leg while trying to distract the cannibals with his military maneuver. He's so dumb. Scott attempts another diversion to do the exact same thing, because remember, the definition of insanity is doing the exact same thing and expecting different results. Yeah, like that was going to turn out good for him, right? Yeah. So, this obviously results in an attempt to get the other three to escape, which they kind of do before he gets the good old Rickon Stark treatment right in front of him.
Really?
Yeah, he got really? Rickon. He got Rickon, dude. Battle of the Bastards happened right there.
Wow.
Yeah, poor bastard.
Wow. Fuck you.
Well, you're still sad about Rickon Stark and no lines in that whole season.
No. I'm just the Game of Thrones reference. I'm like, you literally were so into Game of Thrones, the last season ruined it for you, and then you never mentioned it again, and then you come in with Game of Thrones reference.
Oh, up until season 6, still fantastic. It just 7 and 8 just hurt my soul.
I know they did. They hurt everyone. At least you don't have a Game of Thrones quote tattooed on your fucking body.
Oh shit. Hey, it was good for a while. What quote is it, though?
Oh, it's this one. It's a Catelyn Stark quote.
Oh, that's a good one, though. Uh-huh. Yeah, No. I thought it would be, like, somewhere. No, that's not basic at all.
No, I don't have, like, winter is coming, as a tramp stamp or something.
That's not how you spell coming.
From the book, it's not even from the show.
Yeah, I know. Oh, the winter is coming trap stamp. You know that exists somewhere.
I hope it does.
Some trashy person
I hope
has
it does.
That back
Whoever
there.
Has a winter is coming trap stamp, I hope you have a fantastic fucking day.
I do too. That is. Was that me or you on the next one?
Oh my god.
Oh, Rickon Stark, let's go.
Yeah. Yeah, that was you. Killed by arrows maneuver. Mm-hmm. So, okay, let's actually talk about the movie for a brief moment. Aside from...
Oh, because this was dumb. Yeah, no, I agree. This is fucking dumb. Let's break this down a little bit.
So this is, like, fucking... I hate Chris. He's the biggest fucking, like, douche ever.
He's so incompetent in this whole movie.
He reminds me of like the early, like I'm a, like an early 2000s version of whatever the main character is from Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Yes,
but like I like the one from Killer Clowns. You know what I mean?
He's got heart.
He has heart. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like he's just like
I'm here. I'm gonna do the thing. I fucked up the thing. Everybody save me.
But no, it was like it was almost laughable and. Like satirical in the way that he's just like, I'm gonna run away and distract and he immediately gets shot in the fucking leg and he's like, oh right?
It's so built up. He's just like, I'm gonna do it. Everybody's like, holy shit, he's fucking, oh bitch.
Did you ever see Kong on Skull Island?
Yeah, I don't remember it that much.
Okay,
though.
So there's a scene where this guy, like, it's, like, working up to where he's, like, the explosives expert, and he's gonna save him, he's gonna kill himself to save everyone by going towards this, like, big old monster and blow himself up, mm-hmm. and he's walking towards the thing, and he's like, come and get me! And he lets go of, like, the grenades to blow himself up, and, like, right as he does it, he gets, like, the monster, like, tail whips the fuck out of him, and so he just dies for nothing, and, like, he blows up, like 100 feet away, like he dies for nothing.
Makes the declarative statement, yeah.
The most, like, it is hilarious.
That is great.
If you have HBO Max, if I don't know if it's still on there, but I highly suggest Kong on Skull Island just for some delicious, like, action wonderfulness and Tom Hiddleston and bisexual lighting. So
see, and that movie did gross a lot, actually. It was responsible for the MonsterVerse.
Yeah. It also has John Goodman in it, who I also love.
John Goodman is the shit. And also,
he's also a dick in that movie.
Yeah,
so
yeah. And it's just the other guy, he definitely his just like he has that pretty boy death. They're just like, fucking dead. Everybody's like, no!
I know,
character that well, we all love with all of our hearts.
It's because, one, he's the comedic relief, so everyone loves him. Two, he's in love, mm-hmm. and so that means...
He has so much... Yeah,
the stakes are immediately higher, which is, like, annoying.
Maybe we're gonna live together forever, and I'm gonna marry you, and all this other
bullshit. Well, it's just, it's annoying, because it's like, I know when I'm being played, okay?
Yeah, he's playing the harp.
Yeah, well, mm-hmm. I know when I'm being played, and it's... Not and it, I think maybe it's just like, you know, as an avid horror movie watcher, like, you mm-hmm. know when, you know, your emotions are being pandered to in, like, you know.
Pandered, yes, pandered. And they're all fucking sitting there like...
Watching.
Oh my god, he's dead!
Go!
I was pacing in my room. I was pacing.
You were pacing?
No, I was like, fucking move! What are you doing? And there's, oh my god, my love of my life is there. It's like, oh, I know that guy. And the fucking Chris is just like, I just met him, but holy shit, that made an impact on me.
Go.
Oh, my leg hurts. My leg hurts.
My leg. Anyway, so that is a stupid ass moment of the movie. Chris also, for the rest of the movie, has like this like limp when it's convenient for the plot, but otherwise it's totally fine.
He's got the adrenaline not limp after that. Yeah, that's how it works, right? That's how it works.
Jesse, Carly, and Chris stumble upon an old watchtower with an old radio and try to call for help.
cliche. All right. The cannibals arrive and are alerted when the radio starts responding to the group's call. Unable to get inside, the attackers actually do something pretty smart and set the tower on fire.
I mean, it's smart.
Smoke them out.
But then the fuckhead who's managing whatever the mm-hmm. I don't know what the state park whatever service is like listening. He's just like, sounds like these kids are in trouble, huh? Okay, taking my lunch now, Terry.
I'll get to it when I get to it.
Yeah, exactly. So
there's like a fire happening in the frickin' forest.
I know they should. It's one of those tried and true sayings where it's like, if you get pulled into an alleyway, yell fire. That's what they should have done. They should have just yelled into the thing, fire!
It's so funny because I feel like the hillbillies are just like, oh, these guys are like really easy to fucking kill. Jesus.
Well, I mean, yeah, to be fair, I think they put up the most fight. Quick side note, by
They're
the
like,
way.
Like, I've seen deer get away.
Right. They have a full, like graveyard of cars.
Oh yeah, that's
which
right.
I did want to mention. I'm like, okay, first off, if this was true, people would be a little bit more concerned about, hey, don't go into like the creepy, like freaky woods.
Yeah, that's a lot of disappearances happening over time. It's not like all these cars are rusted out.
No, they're
kind
none
of new
of them,
cars.
None
they're
of
kind
them
of new
are
cars.
Rusted out. Actually,
yeah.
Now that you mention it, and that's kind of what I was getting to. Also, it's not like these are like it's like over the span of like 50 years.
Yeah. It's literally just like they. If you look at the model of the cars, they may have been at it for like maybe a year and a half.
Right, exactly. It looks like maybe like over the course of 5 years.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we're suddenly into this stuff. Like, yeah, it's a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, but why are we looking for logic here, Alex? What's going on?
I know.
What's going on?
Logic in a horror film. Jesus. What are we?
Jesus.
What am I? A film theory critic?
We did have an academic excerpt right before this, so you're right. Yeah, that's...
Whatever. Anyway, so, following logic, the protagonists escape by jumping out onto the trees, triggering a chase in which Carly is decapitated by Three Finger. Let's talk about this.
Okay. Spoiler alert, kill the film for me.
Oh, yeah.
That was fantastic.
That's not even a question, because this is the only worthwhile, worth note death.
Yeah.
And I can tell you why. This death, remember when I mentioned arachnophobia and seeing it when I was a kid and confusing it with something far more graphic?
Mm-hmm.
This is the scene that I confused it with. the scene where there's like suddenly just like where you just see a blade and she gets cut out, like cut at the mouth, and gets decapitated. That is the scene that I saw. And I know this because the way that I remember it is a combination of this and I want to say Final Destination 2. When what's his face gets decapitated with like with like train debris.
That's number one.
Oh, okay. That's, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's Sean Williams Scott gets taken out.
Yeah, Sean Williams Scott gets taken out by train debris.
Old Stifler, yes.
Yes, 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 yes. So that scene and this scene, I don't know why I was watching Final Destination as a 7-year-old, and I don't know why my parents let me watch Wrong Turn as a 7-year-old, but I saw both of those movies, and I mished the scenes together, and that is, I had an issue with flying metal and decapitation for obvious reasons.
I can see that. I can definitely see that now. Yeah, and in terms of flying metal scenes, they both compare with each other.
They're both intense, for sure.
Because I feel like the Sean William Scott one, very well shot, and then also kind of really comes out of nowhere. This one, a little more predictable, but I gotta say, I like the camera movement a lot. Like, it actually is very dynamic, which to me, I'm like, dude, this was like a good fucking death.
Yeah.
And you know, you didn't need that character anymore.
No, she was fodder. Once her fucking boyfriend died, she was useless. She was, oh my god.
You know, once her only character trait died, being the girlfriend
dude. Do you know how many people I know who like make their personality traits being in a relationship?
Oh, I'm sure there's entire subreddits dedicated to this whole thing. Yeah. Even if you didn't know anybody, I'm sure we're able to pull out.
Totally.
Yeah, they exist. Yeah. And they totally act like that codependent pieces of shit. They do. They are so codependent. It is insane.
Oh
my god.
It's like, oh, I'm sorry, I can't go out. My boyfriend said no. He said no.
He said, you will sit here. We will watch the things we've been watching every Tuesday. Oh boy, yeah, it's Tuesday. I can't do it.
Sorry.
Oh boy. So.
I'm fine.
Yeah. No, it's not triggered nothing. Chris pulls a branch while Jesse lures the attacker. For the former to release it, doing the good old Looney Tunes thing.
I was going to say.
Knocking him down. Yep. And that's the little one, right? The, what's his fucking name? Three Finger?
Sure.
Yeah. Jesse and Chris flee with their good old Assassin's Creed parkour and hide in a cave until morning.
This is Elmer Fudd.
Yeah.
Like, type shenanigans.
Like, Three Finger should have held up a sign like the coyote and just be like, uh-oh.
Right. Uh-oh. He should have run across open air for a moment and then look at the camera and be like, ooh, and then fall to the ground. Like, this is buffoonery.
Bushwhacked. He just falls straight down.
Hoodwinked.
And a cloud of dust like an A-bomb just comes in, mushroom cloud. Yeah.
Oh my fucking god. And then, as you mentioned, they escape very stealthily.
Yeah.
And then hide behind a waterfall. If this had been any more absurd, there would have been a chest behind it with gold for them.
Oh, the fucking Zelda jingle comes up.
Exactly. Da-na-na-na.
Oh, is that a radio?
Like, it's like, oh, okay, I understand. So you have to go behind the waterfall to get the chest with the radio so you can get help, so you can leave.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
Boy. Wow, is that a save screen?
Oh, wow, I only have a heart left.
Oh, Jesus. And it is weird because they have this, like confiding moment, and I'm just like, did they steal a scene from Berserk? Is this fucking Casca and Guts? Just sitting there just like, this is why I'm a man. It's like, oh my god, no, yeah, I'm just a lady. Like, that's just how the fucking scene plays. It's so stupid.
It's real stupid. And then it's like, okay, we're gonna cuddle for warmth to survive now. So the cannibals ultimately do find them somehow, pushing Chris down a hill and taking Jesse back to their cabin.
This is so bad. I can understand why they find him. Only because this has to be one of the few freshwater sources around there that the cannibals know. Oh, yeah,
and it's moving water.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb on the character's part to be like, oh, the only water source in the area. I mean, let's stay here.
It's true. They know nothing.
They don't. They are bad. So Chris survives the fall
somehow,
and in like the most like Chris Farley fucking pratfall that you can have,
and then just lands perfectly fine.
Oh my god!
No broken neck, no broken bones,
nothing.
Oh, he didn't get gangrene. Like he was shot almost 24 hours ago at this point.
Yeah.
And, like, gangrene.
Oh, leg still works, huh?
Gangrene hasn't set in. Like, he is A-okay. But it's because he's a doctor, so he doesn't have to roll for that. He just has natural.
Oh, Jesus.
He has natural.
So, yeah, no, I put the omen on before, you know? You never go through Missouri. So,
I hate it here.
And he somehow happens to land in front of the police officer who now decided to come over.
Yeah, it's
excellent timing.
I heard. No, I... What are you kids up to? He has an AK-47.
Right? But this isn't like a Terminator at all. The officer is, of course, killed by Sawtooth, who shoots him in the eye with an arrow.
So we got improbable headshots.
Yeah, headshots.
Oh. We got it all.
Oh, it's so bad.
We have someone who's super good at archery. We got your improbable headshots with archery. We got,
Just Chris's timing on all these events. He just happens to fall and stumble, get in a car accident in front of things that are plot relevant.
Yeah. Lazy writing. I cannot emphasize to anyone listening at home how fucking lazy the writing for this is.
Oh, holy shit, this is a teenager. All right, whoa, what's going on, buddy?
Oh my God.
Written by the guy who did Halloween 4, huh?
Speaking of lazy writing.
Oh, boy. Oh, this is a dumb scene. Oh, please, please explain this one to the audience, please. Please.
So, Chris hitches a ride underneath the truck and is driven back to the cabin by Sawtooth, who somehow has supersonic sight and yet did not see this coming.
Also, Chris is Sideshow Bob? What the fuck? He's just sitting there with that Dr. Armstrong, just, okay, cool. Let's not go over any bumps. We're going to do the whole fucking journey. He is hanging on to the bottom of this not lifted truck.
I know. This is not a lifted vehicle.
There's no way that he's not. I'm a skinny boy, and this would destroy the fuck out of me.
Oh, yeah. Your back is just gone.
Yeah. I'm just like, wow, that is a rash.
And he's a buff guy, so you know he's like, he has like a degree of thickness about him. You know what I mean? I don't mean like THICC, like, ooh, he thick. I mean like he is like wide, you know?
Yeah, this is beefcake territory we're running into right here. Yeah, this is total beefcake
territory. So he is kind of thick in that sense, but like, eh.
But he's also like just mass.
It's useless.
It's fucking dumb.
And also, it's not like he ever actually really fights anyone. Like, it's not like he's, like, throwing punches.
He gets shot in the leg. It's like, ow, my foot. And then the whole movie is just like, I'm still running and falling.
But then also, there's the occasional moment where, like, his leg acts up if the plot requires.
Okay, so he's just hanging on to the bottom of this thing by sheer arm strength.
I will be completely honest. This is about when I checked out.
Oh, I checked out. Sporadically between, but like this.
No, at this point, like, I was just like, how much is left? And I was like on my phone, like, I was like, I'm done.
See, this is the part where I was like, this just moved into the whole, like, it's too dumb now, and I want to see how they dumber it up.
How do they dumber it up, Anthony?
Well, Chris then drives the vehicle into the building and proceeds to fight the cannibals after freeing Jesse. So he's just going in there, guns fucking blazing, but with his...
With no guns.
Yeah, with no guns. By the way, the light just randomly turned on. Is your poltergeist... he's like, that was fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, your poltergeist is acting up too. Jesus.
It's only when you're here.
Great. That explains a lot of occurrences around my apartment building. Okay. What happens next, Alex? Because this is just going to get worse.
Oh my god. Okay, so they escape. Again, we're talking some Looney Tunes-like shenanigans as Chris kills the cannibals by blowing up the cabin. The pair then drives out of the forest in the cannibals' pickup truck and stumbles upon the gas station nearby. Chris takes the map to prevent others from making the same wrong turn before he and Jesse leave. They also run over the road or the street marker.
Yeah.
So it's just like, no one else will make this mistake.
Not for six sequels. This is the most Michael Bay scene, for sure. For sure. So in the credit scene, a deputy sheriff who had received the radio call earlier investigates the remains of the destroyed cabin.
Yay. Mm-hmm. Laughing insanely. Three Finger, who survived the explosion, rises and kills the deputy.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Although I will say, we're so used to end credit scenes now, mm-hmm. I think, that, like, at the time, I'm sure this was, like, a little, like, ooh, oh, spicy.
Boy. I better rent the sequel when it goes to video at Blockbuster, because that's going to last, too.
Better invest in Blockbuster. Yeah. Right, honey?
Yep. So, Wrong Turn was followed by several films, including two sequels, Wrong Turn 2, Dead End, which I heard is a fan favorite, and Wrong Turn 3, Left 4 Dead, which Left 4 Dead is a great video game series. Two prequels leading to the events of the original film, Wrong Turn 4, Bloody Beginnings, in a very unoriginal title, and Wrong Turn 5, Bloodlines, which is the only title you can get much more unoriginal than that. And, of course, a reboot. Wrong Turn 6, Last Resort from 2014. Wow.
There's more.
There's more.
I'll take this one. In October 2018, a reboot simply titled Wrong Turn 2021 was announced. The film was written by original writer Alan B. McElroy, and it was directed by Mike P. Nelson. Will we ever cover them? Stay tuned and find out on season 47 of the Horrible Peoples podcast.
That's when we run out of ideas. That's right. she's got it. She knows what's up. She knows what's up.
That's because, unlike them, we have just a modicum of forethought.
Yeah, sometimes. Okay.
We have the episodes planned for, like, the next 4 months.
That's true. That's very, we totally do. Wish we have a wonderful September for you guys already coming up right now.
I know, yeah.
And also, we got a big, we got a lot of movie to discuss, so shall we?
It's gonna be fun, yeah. Yay. I mean, but before we can get to the good movies, we have to sit through this, which, by the way, up top, I am sorry I suggested this movie, but I kind of shot myself in the foot because I'm out of practice because we haven't been writing episodes for a while, and there was next to nothing about this movie. So I really shot myself in the foot because I was like, I don't know what we're going to talk about.
Entertaining, I should say. We've done a lot, so.
It's true.
Let's break it down.
So, what are your thoughts on Wrong Turn, as if we haven't been shy enough?
I'm going to go ahead and say it. Despite us shitting on this movie for, I'd say, the past 20 minutes or so, it's bad. It's, like, really bad. Mm-hmm. But it's not boring.
No.
It's not boring at all. I was pretty...
You might lose interest if it's like you're just... I think you have to definitely be in a mood for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I like I said, towards the end, I was just kind of... I was like half watching at that point.
Yeah, I definitely had parts where I checked out, basically, mm-hmm. when any characters decide to talk instead of like get shy at or something.
Sure.
But the... They get in such shitty scenarios enough of the time it throughout
the
movie.
It is, like, bad decisions, the movie, for sure.
Yeah, and the level of it being... It's so contrived. Like, I cannot express enough how contrived every scenario is in this whole movie. Mm-hmm. There really is kind of like... You literally could have turned left and avoided everything. Because you took the wrong turn.
Really?
Yeah.
Really, you piece of shit?
Yeah. So... It's just... But I gotta say, like, they when they fuck up, I this is one of those cases where these characters getting killed, I love it. I love when they die. Like, every time one of them dies, I'm like, good. Fucking kill the shit out of them, please.
I'm glad.
I was rooting for these hillbilly fucks this whole time. I was on their side. I was. I'm like, you know what they need to eat? It's Missouri. I'm sure they gotta go a long way to get a good grocery store.
Right.
And if you have enough dumb people to be able to just go through your thing, and like these traps, like they know they work. Honestly, it's so hard because it really is like a terrible film. Like it's
objectively,
not good.
It is not good.
Objectively,
like,
not
and,
good.
And here's the thing, and I think we've talked about this before, but it's a good bad film.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a good combination of like it's acted poorly but well written, or it's poorly written,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Or it's a combination of that, or it has more to do with like the directorial style, or
mm-hmm.
or the, you know, whatever, the camera work, whatever. It doesn't really like it's a combination of that. This is just like outside of it looking kind of cool,
mm-hmm.
and even then, it's kind of cool for 2003 standards.
It's so 2003; it's ridiculous.
Like everyone's wearing low-rise jeans.
Yeah,
everyone's wearing low-rise jeans and like borderline crop tops, and it's like the midriffs in
yes.
this movie are fucking insane, dude.
Flip phones.
The flip phones. The midriffs. I don't even think they're skinny jeans. They're fucking like bootcut. Like mm-hmm. it is. Insane.
Elijah Dushku enunciates the most out of all the characters. Otherwise, they are just bland.
They're,
fucking
like I couldn't tell you what the hair color was on any of them.
Oh shit, that's a good way of putting that.
You know what I mean?
I can't even think about. No, holy, maybe no.
I couldn't tell you the color of the shirt they were wearing. I couldn't tell you.
Mm-mm.
I even though we just said all of their names, I could not tell you their names.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I can totally see that. So these characters, imagine. You get like, in terms like these like this really crispy looking, amazing, extra fucking supersized thing of McDonald's fries,
ooh.
And it has no salt.
Oh.
It has no salt.
Oh.
No salt.
You really?
It looks good, but it is.
Oh,
you
man.
Bite into that, it is potato and cardboard.
You set that up really well, and my heart kind of like, I love McDonald's fries, dude.
The only fry that has salt on is Elijah Dushku's fucking fry. That's it. That's it.
There's one fry. The whole fucking go.
And it's got the perfect amount of salt on it. Every other one of them, nah. Mm. But it looked good in the photo. What do you think, Alex? How do you feel about this movie?
Now I want some fucking fries, asshole.
Me too, honestly. Might have to get some on the way home. Just stop in the drive-thru and be like, I'm just doing the fries and I'm having one more claw on my bed. That's what I'm doing.
That's my night.
That's the night.
What did I think of this movie? It was, I mean, honestly, any opportunity to talk shit with you is mm-hmm. just like a great
it's
time.
It's glorious, isn't it?
Yeah. Because well, like, here's the thing is, and we've mentioned this before, is very rarely do we get to cover movies that both of us have not seen.
Yeah, that's true, huh? And you know, this is the opposite of the last one we saw that we both didn't see, Compliance, which is
which
is much
was
darker.
Another thing that I picked. Sorry.
It's okay. This is how we learn.
But I thoroughly enjoyed this. I do. I love anything Eliza Dushku's in. I did watch Dollhouse in its entirety, in its stupid Joss Whedon written fucking entirety.
Speaking of contrived.
I enjoyed the movie. I think it would be way more fun to watch in a group. I think it would be way more fun to watch fucked up.
Yes, I agree. All those things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm at. But I did enjoy it. It is a quintessential early 2000s post 9/11 torture porn flick.
It really is like, I don't know, the bog standard for what you would expect from that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, mm-hmm. there's a scene in the very end where Eliza Dushku is literally like, she has a gag in her mouth, she's tied to a bed, she's screaming and thrashing. Like, this is kind of like, I think right before Saw.
Yeah.
So this is like, pretty much as like, grotesque as it kind of got. Talking mm-hmm. about inbred hillbillies was like, the taboo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was it. Like,
yeah.
that was like, okay, we're talking about inbreeding. Like, this is like, gonna scare some people because it's gonna make people feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Clearly, they continued to push that. But yeah, so I think that was really what they were going for, and they achieved it. I think it is a cheap, cheap mockery of Hills Have Eyes and Texas
yeah.
Chainsaw.
And it was a 3 year shy of the remake, too. So
mm-hmm.
I feel like they just didn't realize that they could remake just Hills Have Eyes.
Right, they could have just really worked super hard on the spirit of The Hills Have Eyes, although Alexander Aja did do a pretty good job.
He did
although it is When I just to picture that movie, it's just yellow tint, like it's just a yellow filter.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's 2000. The color, a whole different reason, right?
The
there.
Color grading on that. Oh my god, I don't even want to get into that.
Well, we did get into it. Check out one of our episodes 70 something on the Hills Have Eyes.
I'm just talking about how like every country that like America was at odds with just had this like yellow tint.
Hey, hey, unless it was Breaking Bad, then it was an orange tint in Mexico.
Yeah, right? Yeah, Mexico.
Mexico is orange. Didn't you know that, Alex?
Afghanistan, Iraq, all of it. Mm-hmm. Just had, like, just, like, this, like, nasty yellow, like, looking, like, filter over everything. And it's just, okay.
It's like, did you piss on the lens, sir? No, I'm a cinematographer. Piss on the fucking lens. All right, let's fucking shoot this.
We want, yeah. Yeah. It's, they still do it. Mexico is another big one where it's just like, we're just going to make it look like sand and nothing.
And there are like, no trees in Mexico. There are no trees.
No trees.
Now, how do you, yeah, how do you, nah.
We're joking, by the way.
Yeah.
Don't take that out of context.
Right? Toss my Mexican card right there. So, but I mean, hey, the one thing this movie has over a lot of its contemporaries is Eliza Dushku.
Fuck yeah, it does.
Your wife, someone who
your mistress,
my mistress. honestly, is she in other horror movies? I don't even know.
She, you know what? That is a great question.
Let's double check because if we don't get to
if we don't get this right here and now, I think we'll be in a bad spot. The Saint, Wrong Turn One. I mean, obviously Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Just to be fair. Angel. Mm. None of these really stand out as horror. There's something called Open Graves.
We're not covering Open Graves.
Probably not. Again, that's like season 59.
Mm-hmm. We're after Wrong Turn 6, yes.
She does a lot of like, yeah, no. I don't really think, what's the Saint?
Mm.
Talking about 2017, not Val Kilmer.
So what we're getting at is not a lot of horror representation.
God. I haven't seen The New Guy in forever.
Fucking, oh, I haven't seen it in a long time either. I used to love that movie.
Yeah, you would like it.
I used to love that movie. I watch it all the time. Eddie Griffin and fucking DJ Qualls in that.
Yeah, DJ Qualls is like the shit.
Me at work sometimes, what we do is me and my coworker Brandon, we'll just randomly talk. We'll like walk by each other. You stared at my Janet. Okay, no horror. Yeah. No, we're fine. Fuck it.
What?
No, fuck. Thinking about her filmography right now. Now we just praise.
No. We gotta
come back. Because
we gotta come back. I know. But if any, I mean, you guys know I hate I do love teen comedies, and mm-hmm. The New Guy is a pretty fucking funny.
It's like
one.
A fundamental one. I agree.
It is. Yeah, it's pretty it really fundamental. Is.
Yeah. And it has, of course, probably one of my favorite Elijah Dushku roles. She just kills it in that movie.
Yeah, that's because
she's fucking hot.
I was going to say, it's because she's a little hottie in it.
She is such a hottie in that goddamn movie. And even this movie, she carries the goddamn movie.
Yeah, it's because it's 2003. She's fresh off of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She is tight.
Yeah, and she legitimately is the only one that, like, emotes at all in the movie.
Again, like, yeah, no. In case anyone like couldn't tell, I found her from Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and that's when I was just like, my wife.
I remember her from Buffy, but I also Bring It On was the thing.
Well, okay, when we've had this conversation, we both love Bring It On. Your family, like, it's like one of the sport movies that you're like,
it is.
I dig it.
Remember the Titans and Bring It On played back to back in our household constantly while I wore football pads because nobody grew taller than me yet. So, yeah, you know. But yeah, Eliza Dushku, just an early icon here. And even with this movie, you can see why.
I can talk about it now because we're talking about Eliza Dushku. When I watched Bring It On when I was 5, my mom got pissed. Because for about 2 months afterwards, according to her, I was 5 years old, a quote-unquote bring-it-on attitude. Heavy on the air quotes.
A bring-it-on attitude? What is a bring-it-on attitude?
So bring-it-on attitude. I'm so glad you asked. A bring-it-on attitude is I act like the fucking cheerleaders from the movie. Like, I had a teenager-y fucking attitude. I was 5 years old.
Oh, that's awesome. And that stayed... That stuck.
It did not stick. Okay, maybe.
No. Just the fucking little face you did right there. That wasn't an Elijah Dushku expression. I gotta say, from Bring It On. Mm-hmm. That level of sarcasm.
The beginning.
That level of sarcasm.
It's true. The beginning, like the little cheer that they do. Yeah. I'm sexy. I'm cute. Popular. I had that whole thing memorized from age five.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that.
Like, it is trapped. Okay. It's stuck.
How I would describe your personality as influenced by Bring It On is when they ask Eliza Dushku when she's about to do the tryouts. Like,
I transferred from Los Angeles. Your school has no gymnastics team. This is a last resort.
Yes. I fucking knew it. Oh, yeah. That is you distilled. Distilled right there. And a little pellet that if somebody took that and they're like, they would do the same thing and they also talk about a scary movie in the same tone. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. That's it right there.
Thank
you.
Hold on to that forever.
This is a last resort. Oh, love that
scene.
It's a
last resort.
God damn it, Elijah. She was the best.
Yeah, she's the freaking best in that movie. I love her in that movie. And anyway.
I saw it when I was in high school, so I was like, that's automatically teenage crush right there.
I was just going to say, you're just like, ooh. Mm-hmm.
Middle school, actually, not high school.
I was going to say, wow.
Middle school, yeah. God damn it. Anyways, let's keep going. We're going to be on this forever.
Oh, no. I distinctly had a spot where we can talk about Eliza
Dushku.
Let's
keep going then. Fuck
it.
Yes.
But no, if there's anything you would like to say, I got all my, like, she's just...
I wish she was in more things nowadays.
She's enjoying being
but
a mama.
No, she's living a happy life, and I'm happy for her. But in terms of, you know, just fundamental crushes at a young age.
She is it.
She kind of determined my type for a little bit. I kind of have a type. You know my type.
I know you have a type.
There's definitely, I need a little bite to my ladies. And then Eliza Dushku is
like,
is
you like spooky, dark haired, like, bite
sarcastic
lady.
Ladies.
Yeah.
Yes, uh-huh. yes, that's true. Eliza Dushku, thank you very much for existing and being
thanks
on screen.
Thanks for giving me the type.
Yep, thanks for motivating it, by all means. So let's talk about the
movie.
So we're going to get into right now the opposite of Eliza Dushku here. Let's talk about 9/11. It hasn't come up yet.
How is that better than my little, like, 9/11 thing earlier at the top of the episode? That's no better.
Let's talk about good old 9/11. This was one of the first torture porn movies to come out of the post 9/11 society. And of course, Alex likes talking about this. So, in what way is this relevant to post 9/11 torture porn?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, this is probably one of the first movies that kind of, and I think that's probably why this ended up being as popular as it was, is it really set the stage for torture porn and what it ended up looking like in America. Mm-hmm. Because after this, we did get Cabin Fever and we did get a lot of the other. We got the Hills Have Eyes remake. Like, it really kind of established what gross torture porn ended up looking like. Hostel,
that's a good point.
As well as what is the other one that I'm thinking of? Saw. Duh.
Yeah.
Wait,
was Saw after this?
I believe so. 2003. I think Saw either came out in 2003 or 2004.
2004?
Was it 2004?
Alex, fuck it, eh? You're right.
Damn, I'm good.
No, that's... Okay. So, I looked at this movie as a cliche of torture porn in the post-2001, 9/11 kind of world.
Where, of course, I mean, okay.
But you got... Now that you bring this up, this is really fundamental. It's not cliche. It established the cliches in the most cliche way possible.
By overdoing it exuberantly?
Whoa.
I love blowing your mind.
No, you're right, it's a year away.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I love it when I guess the year the movie came out correctly, because it just makes me feel so much better as a film nerd.
But here I was dogging on this bitch, and it is actually surprisingly innovative. Oh, shit.
Does that change your how you view
it? It kind of does a little bit, because honestly, it, like, okay, think about, like, what's a good analogy here? I can't think of it. I'm thinking video game stuff, but it really...
You can say video games.
It's going to go back to Resident Evil.
That's
so
fine.
Think of Resident Evil 4. Think of some of the stuff that game does, which we're going to cover Resident Evil 4, by the way, this season. It's happening.
It's happening!
It is a spoiler alert if you've made it up to here and you want to get a preview later on. My favorite game of all time. Yeah, number one.
Ever? Uh-huh. Even more than, like, Fallout?
Ever, yes. Jericho, fucking, there you go. But, Resident Evil 4 did things that, if you look at it now, seem like, oh, that's pretty basic. That's because it established the basics. Gotcha. This movie weirdly establishes some of the basics of this weird torture porn kind of post-9/11 era, super graphic. Holy shittery, what the hell? That's right. Pretty cool. Okay.
So, for context, just because, to be fair, just because I like it more, Cabin Fever did come out in 2002, so I'm going to give, like, the...
Oh, I mean, that's like, the GOAT right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's up there for the torture porn stuff, but like...
To get an idea of what kind of movies we were getting in 2002, which were likely the movies that were in production when 9/11 happened. So 2003 is really when we're getting, like, the reactionary 9/11 stuff. Bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
Queen of the Damned, 28 Days Later, The Grudge, The Ring, Resident Evil, Cabin Fever, Halloween Resurrection, Signs.
Man.
Yeah. American Psycho 2.
Things definitely changed as things went along, but...
Darkness, Dark Water, Red Dragon, like...
Yeah.
May, which is good. Holy shit!
Yeah, this
No, one... no, no. Reign of Fire came out in 2002, and I did not realize it came out in 2002. I thought it came out way later, but anyway.
Pre-Batman Christian Bale, that's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching that on a little... Remember the portable DVD players?
Oh yeah, with, like, the fucking, 3-inch screen?
Yeah, with my... my biological father, my dad, I used to live down in San Diego, and he used to live, in the Central Valley. So he'd come pick me up, every other week. And so I spent, a shit ton of time in the car. I'm, an expert-level road tripper. I would watch movies sometimes because I would also get violently carsick.
Yeah.
Trying to configure those two was, hard. But anyway, he would have, a DVD thing. And that was the first time I watched X-Men 3.
Hmm.
And that was the first time I watched Reign of Fire was sitting in the backseat of a car.
Fucking action, let's go.
I was a little, fantasy or supernatural action or, anything, in those, anything that I could get my hands on that, wasn't geared for children. I was yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so basically, those were the movies that we were getting in 2002.
Okay.
We also got Blade 2.
Great movie we're going to cover at some point.
We will.
Can we cover it this season, maybe?
Maybe.
Ooh, Guillermo del Toro. Ooh.
Ooh. Anyway, so those are the movies that we're getting. And like I said before, I feel like those are more movies that were definitely being written and in production around the time of 9/11.
But so they're not reactionary in the same way, no.
You're really getting the more reactionary shit. So let's see what we had in 2003.
I like the study. We're somehow getting into an academic study with Wrong Turn.
I mean, honestly?
Is it that big of a difference?
Yes.
What is it? What's who we
like,
got? We
this
got?
Is why I what know people, they're right. Wrong Turn, House of 1,000 Corpses.
Jesus.
Freddy versus Jason.
Jesus.
High Tension.
Fucking A. Are you
Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the remake. The 2003 remake.
Oh boy.
Final Destination 2.
Yeah.
Jeepers Creepers 2.
So this was a literal genre establishing reaction to 9/11 and the American consciousness. This was.
I'm not making it up, man.
I gotta say though, when you name it, list off that, despite how innovative this film may be, it being released, I'm sure a little bit prior to we're talking May, prior to probably a lot of these. Ones did a lot better.
I mean,
this is kind of not as good as the other ones.
Maybe not High Tension.
Oh no, High Tension kind of beat the shit out of this one. No,
High Tension, it didn't do great, I thought. Or am I...
No, I mean, in terms of quality of filmmaking.
Oh,
yeah. In terms of quality of filmmaking, a lot of the other ones kind of went past this one in certain ways.
Yeah, I mean, House of 1,000 Corpses, for sure.
Yeah.
I love House of 1,000 Corpses.
Yeah, see, but that's polish. It's weird because this is such a contributor, but the level of quality behind it is not as far reaching as some of the other contemporaries.
I will say it looks good. It's style. It's kind of there's a style to it.
No, there is. It just got overlooked by other stuff, I think.
I agree.
Within this direct era.
If there wasn't style to it, this movie would be widely, completely, even fan-wise, disregarded. You know what I mean? There's a style to it, for sure.
I mean, obviously there's merit. This thing has 6 sequels. This thing has a base.
Mm-hmm.
It totally does.
Yeah, I'm going to find someone. Oh, you know what? If you're listening and you are a...
Wrong Turn
Wrong Turn fan.
Mm-hmm.
I want you like
comment on the post.
Comment, like, find us on Instagram, find us on Twitter. I would love to hear from you on why this is a good franchise for you, and if you've watched the sequels and enjoy them, I also want to hear from you. That is your homework assignment, if yes. you're listening.
Hey, if you want us to cover the sequels, or any one of the sequels, or whatever it is, you know what? Reach out. Let us know. Let us know right now.
Yeah. I want to know what you're thinking.
Because if you don't reach out, we're waiting like a couple seasons before we do it. So, yeah, you're going to have to wait a long fucking time.
Season 57. No.
Wait a long fucking time.
Anyway, thank you for letting me talk about 9/11, because for some reason, any opportunity, I'm like, let's talk about this.
Hey, good old 9/11, all right? None of this regular 9/11 bullshit. Good old 9/11.
Good old 9/11.
You know what? In spirit, we have a question about the sequels, but I'm not even going to warrant that. You reach out to us, and we'll talk about the sequels.
Yes.
So, you listen to a deranged gas station attendant. Where does Alex Webster end up?
With herpes.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's bad. I did not expect that. Scares the shit out of me right there already. Jesus. You listen to a deranged gas station attendant.
That is where you end up.
Okay. I'm dead with food poisoning from gas station sushi. Because he's trying to sell me the sushi. I'm eating it. I'm going to eat it.
Why?
Because I listened to the gas station attendant, the basis of the question. But I'm dead in an alley. Like, literally. Okay. Within minutes.
Yeah, I don't know how I end up with herpes, but you're going to end up with herpes.
Yeah, that makes sense. It is a gas station. And you know these fucking attendants. If we're listening to them, it's never a good idea.
No.
It's pretty bad.
No, to be fair, I did write this question, so I did have time to prepare an answer. But that is my bit for that.
Well, I end up dead with whatever fucking mercury poisoning came from that like gas station tuna. I'll listen.
Must you love tuna that much, my friend?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I do. You know what my order is whenever I fucking go to Kaiba?
Yeah.
What is it, Alex? What is it? What is it?
A spicy tuna hand roll and carpaccio.
God damn it. You're good. Albacore, Oriello, carpaccio, depending on how I feel. Which are both tunas.
You really like tuna.
I do. I love tuna. My favorite thing, for some reason, me and my dad, our big thing to eat together when watching football games back in the day, because I didn't like football, but I would hang out with my dad and play with my DS or like my Game Boy or whatever it is. Yeah, we would eat tuna sandwiches and barbecue chips.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd have like a towel next to me and just in my football pads, tuna sandwiches, barbecue chips, playing on a fucking Game Boy.
So you played football, but you didn't like watching football.
I fucking hated watching football.
But you played football.
I liked playing it. I like hitting people. Again, before they got bigger than me.
I was going to say, is this an aggression thing? Like...
Maybe. I don't know what it was. I liked it. But yeah,
And then you just moved to video games where you could be as big as you wanted.
I was video games the whole time. I moved to track so I can run. I had the cardio instincts because of football training.
Interesting.
Yeah. I didn't realize until I was older, but I worked out a lot as a kid.
Oh, yeah. It sounds like it. I didn't realize you were such a sporty child.
I was. I was in like sports and like AP classes and
all
the bullshit.
Do you feel the need at all now? Like you're just like, no?
I like it when I run. I actually really like cardio. I just don't do it as much because I'm busy as fuck.
Sure.
You know how it is. We do the show.
I mean, I hate cardio. Strength training, I'm like all about it.
Oh,
like,
that's fun too. See, I just gotta do it. So rate this movie out of 5. Swift hatchets to the face. Real swift. Like elevated on top of a tree kind of.
Yeah. 2.5. 2.
Okay, I was going 2.5. I'm going 2.5 right down the middle. Okay. Only because it's so bad. Like, it's bad. I actually was probably going to give it a 2, but it's very entertaining. And its fundamental place in torture porn actually elevates it a little bit.
Sure. If there wasn't a moment where, like, I, like, literally the last 15 minutes, like, I barely watched. Like, I literally, at this point, like, I did not care. I wasn't invested in the characters. I wasn't invested in the plot. I was just like, who gives a fuck?
I was invested in seeing them die.
Yeah, but I knew they were going to.
Yeah.
Like, I knew they were going to fucking make it. Yeah. Like, I knew it was either going to be they're both going to survive, or fucking douchebag Chris was going to sacrifice himself to save Jesse.
God, he's one of the worst. Yeah, he's one of the worst.
Exactly.
He really brings down the rating tremendously. I can see 2. I can see your 2. But I'm going to still give it a 2.5.
I respect it. I mean, I was between 2 and 2.5 myself.
No, you were definitely, on the line right there. But yeah, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's stupid fun sometimes. I say it with a group, good. Just don't do it by yourself.
Like, inebriated in some form.
Yeah, no, also you can't be sober doing it as a group. No, no, no.
I mean, both, either or.
Yeah.
Really. So, I think that's it.
Yeah. No, no, we
did get a little profound for a little bit.
We did. We tried. But
there was an attempt.
But that this movie just drags us right back down because it's really that...
Right?
That weird.
So, that was Wrong Turn from 2003, directed by Rob Schmidt.
Yes. And next week?
Next... Yeah, you talk about this one.
Oh, we're talking about the Kang, baby. The Kang. We are going to cover a Stephen King classic? Cult classic?
I don't...
Who the fuck knows?
I don't.
Well, it is niche-ish. It is a well-known movie amongst a certain age group, and it's actually not mine, and it's not yours. It's an older folks.
Yeah.
But it is pretty well-known. It's also original? Hard to say. It's very interesting. We're going to cover it next week.
There's a story that I'm excited to learn because I know nothing about this. This was actually a listener suggestion.
It was a listener suggestion. It was... listener suggestion. I've been asked about this one for a while. We're finally covering it, listener. You're going to love it. Anthology, Stephen King, not the one you're thinking, next week.
So it'll be fun. So join us next week for that. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. If you like what you heard, please consider subscribing wherever you're listening, whether it's on Stitcher, Podcast Addict, Spotify, iTunes, wherever. It means the absolute world to us, and it does help other people find this podcast. I cannot emphasize that enough. I saw someone posting their like chart listings the other day, and I'm like, damn, I can't wait to brag about all you glorious bitches listening.
I know. When I see some chart listings sometimes, I'm just like, when we beat them, I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. And then when they beat us, I'm like, oh, bitch, what the fuck are we doing wrong?
Right. So if you feel so inclined doing that, and then if you have an iPhone and you are listening on the podcast app, if you could write us a 5-star review, that also helps a shit ton.
Mm-hmm.
That's also a chart that is important to me because I'm an egotistical maniac.
Yeah, right. Beating ego is 90% of this podcast.
It's true. That's why we started in the first place.
Right. And then real quick also, I got to say, Hocus Pocus Bath gave us a lot of hype for our season premiere. I got to say thank you for being a new listener. Appreciate
it. Not even our season premiere, our series premiere.
Series premiere. That's right. They started right from the beginning. And also does a lot of great work. Betty Boop stuff, all kinds of cool stuff on their page. So definitely give them a follow. And also thank you very much for... Really make it our day when you commented on our post right there. We very appreciate it.
It was a very sweet comment. It made my day.
And if he wants to call you out, maybe give us some love on the social media. We'll see. We'll see how it works out.
Anthony, you're so...
I'm not guilting our people into giving us more ratings.
You're
going
to get in trouble for a quid pro quo arrangement at some point.
Well, it's attention. It's fine.
Anyway, but yeah, please do that and then write us a 5-star review.
You're getting in trouble. Do exactly that. Nay.
Hey, I have my bit. I have my spiel every single
week.
It does not change.
That's true. And what is that bit?
And actually a new part that I'm so excited to add to the bit. Follow us on Patreon. Subscribe to our Patreon. We have some awesome fucking goodies for you to check out.
Yeah.
This is our first, we mentioned it at the top of the episode, but this is our first opportunity or chance or even our investment really into making money off of this thing. And we're not trying to like rob anyone blind. This is just something that we've been putting our own money into for. We're going into our fourth year of doing this. So if you feel like we deserve... a couple bucks for doing this, please head over to our Patreon. Our link is on our Instagram account, which I will be giving to you right now. You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are on Facebook and Twitter at Horror People Pod, and we are on Instagram at Horrible People's Podcast. That is HORROR BLE People's Podcast. And then if you would like to follow Anthony, he's on Twitter and Instagram at Hyrulean Hustler. And then I am on Twitter and Instagram at Ghost Coffee Shop. I didn't mention it last week, but I wanted to mention it now. Remember at the end of season 3 when I was like, I'm on season 11 or something of Law & Order SVU?
Law & Order, that's right.
I'm on season 16.
Jesus, that's a lot of progress.
How
many seasons are there?
22.
Fucking A, you're gonna be approaching on that one.
Here's the thing, is like until it's like I'm a poltergeist who can't rest until I do get caught up.
Yeah.
I physically am unable to watch anything else unless it's podcast related until I finish it. And there's stuff I would like to watch that isn't that, but I'm just so hellbent on finishing.
Yeah.
That I'm just like, okay, I need to just burn through these episodes.
Oh, that is accurate. I can see that. Okay.
So
yeah.
I'm committed to the bit. I'll keep you updated on my progress. And you can follow my live tweeting progress on Twitter if you feel so inclined. In the meantime, don't listen to the advice of creepy gas station attendants. It will lead you only to bad places.
And also, if you're going to do a military maneuver, don't get shot.
In the leg, yeah. Like an idiot.
Chris sucks.
Bye, guys. Peace.